Blog Talk Radio.
Bunker Boys, I'm Ryan. Unfortunately, tonight we don't have Robert on with us. He's got some things going on, so last minute he couldn't be on. But we're still gonna kick it, still gonna party hard. On with me tonight, you know, I got the ever so famous, ever so popular Brian Sun. He's a Bigfootologist, and he's going to tell us all about Bigfoot and all his Bigfootiness and stuff. And I got a question for you, Brian, real quick. You know, wouldn't it be Big Feet? You're on, bro.
Well, I didn't even know I was on air with you. I thought I was still in the queue. You know, that's interesting you say that. It probably would be. It's funny that Bigfoot plural is still Bigfoot, and you know, the same with Sasquatch. Sasquatch plural is still Sasquatch. There are a few that say Sasquatches, which to me I think sounds just utterly stupid. But you know, yeah, you know, I don't really use the term Bigfoot myself. I use Sasquatch because me, Bigfoot, I don't know, it just sounds real slang and real uneducated.
Well, I was listening into your show the other night, and was it last night or the night before? I can't remember. I lose track.
Thursday night,
Brian runs the Onyx Nights here on VURN, and it's a kick-ass show. I was listening in, and when you had that author on, I can't remember his name. Who was that?
That was Jayan Kazar. He wrote the book Recasting Bigfoot.
Oh, that's legit. when he was talking about the different, he was saying there are different species. Different classifications of what we know as Sasquatch, you know, big hairy man,
right,
or
right.
Whatever. And he was
different
saying
types,
down in
so
Amazon.
Forth.
Yeah, he was saying down in the Amazon they got the. It looks a lot like a giant spider monkey.
Yeah, that was Deloitte's ape. That was an ape that was found and shot several years ago. I don't remember the exact year right off the top of my head. But, yeah, they think that that's a species that exists down there in South America, and perhaps some have come up here to North America in the case of the skunk ape, and perhaps even some of the Louisiana type Sasquatch. You know, it's like I said on that show, you know, I know that, you know, we've all seen the Patterson Gimlin film, the Sasquatch that I've seen in my lifetime don't look like that. I mean they kind of do,
but.
I'm sorry.
You have seen some?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen in my life on 3 different occasions in multiple states. I've seen what I can only describe as a Sasquatch. Though, as I said, it didn't look like Patty from the Patterson Gimlin film. It was not as muscle bound and bulky. It was more streamlined. In fact, if you're familiar with the image that I posted not too long ago. Gene St. Gene did a model for Legend of Boggy Creek.
Mm-hmm.
That is more like what I saw than the Patterson Gimlin film. That slender body type.
See, I'm a huge believer, contrary to what the Debunker Boys stand for. You know, I'm a huge believer in the possibility, just because what is it like?
Well, see, now I have to ask what the Debunker Boys stand for.
Well, we stand for kind of eliminating the idiocracy. We're not disbelievers in anything, and that's the big misconception about us, is that we're just a bunch of skeptics that are just going
to... Well, you've listened to my show. You've listened to my show. I've been on a couple other shows with you. Yeah, it's the same for me. You know, you can believe in something without all the stupidity and ignorance that comes along with it. And you can even go out there and research without all the ignorance tied into it, you know, and... Unfortunately, now with all these new television shows, it seems to be running amok.
Yeah. Well, you know, one theory I had when he was talking about on your show, talking about the, you know, how they think, you know, the slender Bigfoot is, you know, one classification. I think it has to do with the Amazon is so densely populated with animals. You know, it's not urbanized or anything like that. So food is much more abundant there. And we've noticed through evolutionary studies, man was a lot smaller when the earth was a lot more abundant, the ecosystem was a lot more balanced out before we started destroying it. And as food starts to get more scarce and we're having to find alternate food sources, we get bigger, and it's an evolutionary trait. The bigger you are, you know, the more you have to hunt for food. You know, I can't even think of some animals off the top of my head. Well, like, think about birds, you know. Female birds are always smaller than male birds. In most species, the female is always smaller because the male is expected to provide for the female.
In the case of his theories that there's multiple species, again, that's based on the varying reports. Now, we have to keep in mind that... generally, when someone sees something of this magnitude, a Sasquatch, if you will, there is a heightened level of adrenaline that will affect your perception greatly.
Uh-huh.
So there's a good chance that people in their moment of fear... I'm sorry?
Big fish story?
What was that? No, I wouldn't say fish story. I would say that they have a tendency of exaggeration due to adrenaline, and that maybe their descriptions aren't exactly as accurate as we think they are. Mm-hmm. You know, because think about it. If you're walking in the woods, particularly in the middle of the night, and you see something large and hairy step out in front of you, you know, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to get scared shitless. You know, so you're not going to stick around long enough to take out a notepad or sketch pad and write down all the descriptions. You're going to see this thing and you're going to want to haul ass. So naturally, when days later, when you go to describe what it looked like, your description may not be 100% accurate to what was actually there. Because of that adrenaline running through you. Now, that's not to say that it might not look like that. We don't know. For the most part, a good bit of it is speculation and conjecture. As far as there being multiple species, that's probably correct. But I don't know if it's to the level that he was trying to explain on the show. And unfortunately we won't know until we actually capture some or have multiple specimens to study. Like I said, I know the ones over here in my area and down south that I've seen look different from if we think that the Patterson Gimlin film is 100% factual. The ones that I've seen look different than that one. So, you know, I think that it's possible. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that the Patterson Gimlin, that's a big girl.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, she's big bone for sure. But you know, I think that there's a lot of things that are going on. I think that habitat has a lot to do with it. I think that the close similarity they have to humans has a lot to do with it too, because I mean we have many different shapes, sizes, and appearances of humans. So it would stand to reason that these things, if they are that close to the human line, that they too would be different in appearances based on location and terrain and a lot of other factors as well.
I mean, if you look at fish, when you the larger area of water that a fish has to roam, the bigger they're going to get.
That's exactly right. And I used that exact analogy previously a couple of months ago, actually, on one of my shows. That's exactly correct. You know, if you have a fish and you put it in a small tank, it's not going to get very large, but if you take that same fish, or if it's in the tank with a lot of other fish, it's not going to get very large. But if it's just that one fish and it's in a big tank, that fish is going to get huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what was your first experience?
Sure, man. I'll talk about whatever. It doesn't bother me. You know, one thing you know about me, I don't care what anyone thinks. My first experience was in Florida. It was in the Panhandle of Florida, and I was about maybe 11 at the time. And I was down a creek bed fishing, and my siblings were up on the the creek ran into a nice sized bay, and they were up on the bay. They were fishing in the saltwater part, and I decided, well, you know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to fish in the creek in the freshwater and see what I can catch. So I walked probably about 200 yards back into this up this creek bed, real thick forest, and I'm fishing and, you know, just minding my own business, having a great time, and I hear some twigs snapping and whatnot in the woods to my right, and I turned to look, and probably about 75 yards from me, there was a large brown, I'd say it was a color of dead pine needles. It was
so kind
large
of a light brown.
It was, like a rusty type color. Like, you know, dead pine needles, how they'll turn kind of orangish, brown, rushy.
Yeah.
Well, it was that color. I'm sorry, my little girl is bothering me for cookies. Yeah. Hold on a second. Yes, go tell mommy to give you some. Sorry about that. So, yeah, it was that rusty brown color, like dead pine needles. And it was large, and it was kind of dome shaped, if you will, almost triangular shape, but it was in between two trees. And at the time, it struck me as being peculiar, but I chalked it up to maybe being a root ball on a tree that may have fallen over, you know, with a little mud or dirt or something like that. So I went back to fishing, you know, doing my thing, and I heard some twigs snap again. And I look over in that same direction, and what I previously seen, what I thought was a root ball, was gone, completely gone. And at that time, you know, I'm 10, 11 years old, scared the shit out of me. I haul ass up the creek bank, didn't even reel in my fishing line. I'm dragging fishing line, everything behind me, hauling ass back to my brothers, and I'm like, all right, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And, there was a few other...
Yeah, that must have scared the hell out of you. See, I'm more of the, you know, this is probably why I'm going to die young, because I'm the kind... Even at a young age, I was the kind of kid that if I see something cool or different, I run towards it.
Right. It eventually grew to that level. There was so much going on in that area where we had lived. Lots of sounds and noises and hoots and stuff like that. And then I can't, you know, all the way up until 2004 was the last time I lived over there in Florida. And the day before I actually left, there was an incident where something was making howls and coming closer at a very rapid pace to me and a group of friends. And then I moved to Mississippi not long after, a couple of years later. And I saw one walk across a field out of a ditch and across the gravel road. And I saw another one when I was actually riding on the back road. And
so,
it just grew
so
from there,
much,
and I'm like...
So pretty much you've all the times that you've actually seen a Bigfoot was times you were not actually Bigfoot hunting.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Well, I take that back because since I started Bigfoot hunting, I've seen eyeshine. I haven't seen, you know, the actual in broad day. Well, I don't know, because I caught a video of something not too long ago. I don't know what the hell it was. You know, I posted it, and the crypto crew took it, and they swear there's, you know, at least one large one and one small one in the video. You know,
yeah,
I didn't see it.
It's pretty remarkable that something that size can just be that close to you and yet undetectable. And it is probably largely due to the coloring and because a full-size man, a 7-foot-tall man, can stand in a ghillie suit and almost right in front of you and you won't see him. I know this from personal experience when I was in the Army. We were playing hide and seek, kind of army games, and dude was literally standing 5 feet from me, and I did not see him.
And what's really peculiar about that is you knew he was out there, and you knew he was in a ghillie suit, right?
Yeah.
And you still weren't able to see him. Now imagine if it was a Sasquatch that you don't know is out there, and you don't know it's out there waiting for you. Your chances decrease even greater.
Yeah.
And what happened with this incident was I was walking in and I heard some commotion in the brush, and I turned and looked. I didn't see anything, so I walked a little bit further, about 10 feet, and I heard a very definitive wood knock. And when you hear this, I mean, there's no mistaking it. And so I hurried up and I grabbed my camera and I turned it on. I swung it back towards the area that I heard the noise, and I'm sitting there. I'm trying to walk towards it looking for snakes because it's, you know, in the middle of May and wasn't paying attention too much to where I'm going, and I just briefly caught a glimpse of them coming out of a tree and hauling ass down a ravine. And, you know, that's the funny thing is a lot of people are like, well, how come we can't capture these things on cameras and this? First of all, I know this from personal experience. If you walk out there with your camera on the whole time, your battery is going to drain dead in no time before you see anything. If you wait and don't, it's really a fine line, because if you wait until you hear something or see something, then click your camera on, chances are it's going to be gone before you can actually capture it. So it's a lot more difficult than people realize.
The biggest question I've always had about Bigfoot and stuff is, why the hell is he so scared of us? Because you got human evolution research. Back when there was different species of human, you had Homo gargantus or whatever, Homo erectus, Homo sapien, and everything, and they all lived around the same time. And we came out on top because not only did we kill more of them than they killed of us, but we also bred with them. And that's what happened. Neanderthals. That's what happened to the Neanderthals. We actually bred them into extinction.
As far as Sasquatch goes and their fear of us, I think you have to look at the facts throughout history. I think you have to go way back. For example, there's a lot of Native Americans. Some of them claim that they were cannibals and would steal their women and so forth and so on. But there's also some that claim they had a peaceful interaction, a peaceful understanding, respect with these things. Now, let's put it into perspective. Here comes white man, the Europeans, over to the Americas. What do? When we get here, we push westward, and while we're pushing westward, we're pretty much killing anything that we don't understand or anything in our way. Look what we did to the Native Americans. So it makes sense to me that, I mean, I don't blame a Sasquatch for being, I wouldn't say fearful of humans, but avoiding of them. You know, because if we can do what we did to other humans, Native Americans, who's to say that we would stop when we see a Sasquatch? And I'm talking about in the early settlement days.
Well, if you look at a Sasquatch being able to rip a deer, like they've been reported to be able to rip a deer in half and stuff, and they got ungodly strength and everything. Wouldn't that technically put us lower on the food chain than them?
In some aspects, yeah. In some aspects, I would agree, and in a lot of ways, I envy them. I think they're the smarter of the species, just the way they're coexisting with their world, with their environment. I think our advantages are technological advantages. But as far as doing what we're supposed to do, which is live at one with the world, and I'm not this tree hugger or Greenpeace or any of that crap, but doing what we're meant to do, living, existing, surviving, I think they are far superior at it than we are.
Almost
now,
definitely.
Humans have to dominate the world around them. It's in our nature. We have to dominate the world around us. We have to be the superior and the supreme and just dominate and take over and control. And that's where a lot of our faults lie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, just look around us. The more technologically advanced we get, the lazier we become. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Compared to the early settlers who were either riding horses or walking everywhere they had to go, having to work from sun up to sundown, and now, I mean, look at the world around us. You know, we're sloppy. to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. You know, one thing I've actually taken up, and I was doing this years ago, but I've recently started, like, being proactive about it. Anytime I go on a nature hike or anything, like, that has to do with in the woods, in a park, or something like that, I'm barefoot. And
yeah, you told me that before.
Yeah, when I walk through a park with shoes on, and I try to sneak up on somebody or be stealthy, it's impossible. Because you cannot feel the ground beneath you. You know, it's just, you make a lot of noise, crunching and everything. But if you do that same path barefoot, I don't know how many people I've snuck up on. It just creates a level of stealthiness, not just because, you know, your feet aren't as heavy, but also because you're more aware of what is underneath your feet, and that actually causes you to slow down a little bit. And, you know, it can be a little unnerving. I guess you kind of have to be completely phobia-free like I am. I'm not afraid to walk around snakes barefoot, spiders, anything like that. I've actually toughened my feet up pretty well, where I've even stepped on glass, and it didn't do anything to me.
I totally understand what you're saying. A lot of people are surprised at how quiet I can be with boots on when walking out there in the woods. My family, you know, my girlfriend sometimes go with me, or one of the kids, and they're like, I mean, it sounds like elephants going through there, and I'm like, be quiet. And they're like, how are you able to be so quiet? I'm like, I just hang out, you know. And a lot of times we go out and we'll play, like you said, hide and seek or whatever, and there were several times where I would lay in a ditch and cover myself with leaves, and they would walk right over me. It's not hard at all to disappear in the woods. And I wasn't wearing any camouflage. I mean, I'm wearing a white T-shirt and blue jeans. You know, it's not hard to disappear in the woods if you want to. If you do not want to be found, then, you know, it's easy not to be found.
Oh, yeah. You know, people are always saying how is something that's almost 1,000 pounds, Bigfoot, how is he able to be so stealthy and move through the woods without a sound? And think about this. He lives there. He, she, it lives there. And it is trudging through there all the time. In your house, do you remember when you were a kid, you know, trying to sneak out of the house and everything like that in the middle of the night? You knew where every creak and groan in your house was, and you knew how to step around that, so you were absolutely fine.
Even now, you could probably walk around your house in pitch black with ease.
Yes.
Because you're accustomed to it. And yes, the woods, and people be like, well, there are trees everywhere. It doesn't matter. You know, I had a debate not too long ago with a guy who was like, well, Here's the thing. If I take, I don't know how Sasquatch can survive out there in the woods, because if I were to take my dog, who's a husky, I think he said, and take it out there in the woods, and I think you have a husky too, right? He's like, my dog wouldn't make it. I'm like, well, no, it wouldn't make it, because it's used to humans and used to getting things handed to it. And now, if that dog was born out there in the woods, like a wolf or a bear, and that's all
Yeah, my dog was born from a breeder. My dog was born from a breeder, has never, you know, had experiences with the wilderness, but my dog could survive. And you know how I know this? Because at 4 months old, I saw him jump into a bush and pull out a full-sized bird. And it was easy for him. This dog could catch anything. He chased down a bird that was low-flying.
But see, this guy was speaking in general. I mean, he mentioned his dog, but he was speaking in general of just a regular house pet. Well, that's right. The first thing they're going to do is they're going to try to seek out a human so they can get fed again, because they're not accustomed to fending for themselves and providing for themselves, you know. And the guy was still like, well, I don't know how Sasquatch can live in the woods. Well, how can a bear do it? You know, how can a wolf do it? How can coyotes do it?
I have no idea how we became a dominant species through evolution, because we are such, if you look at any other animal, on Earth that's been in the past, in the present, or anything. We are the pussies of the animal kingdom. We are so fragile. It is ridiculous. We don't have any of the natural defenses to really protect us against Mother Nature. If it's too hot, we overheat and we die. If it's too cold, we get frostbite. You know, we have
created those conditions. You know, there's a lot of people, winter's coming, and they're predicting a real harsh winter this year. And a lot of people are, you know, not feeling too happy about that. And here's the thing. You get used to it. You get used to the cold. I mean, I've gotten so used to it that I walk around, it's 30 degrees outside, and I'm walking around in a tank top.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with the heat. You have to condition yourself to get used to that. We have built a box, if you will, around ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's why so many people have so many issues, like when they get lost in the wilderness or things of that nature. It's because they're not used to stepping outside their box.
Yeah. Well, it's like what Sheldon Cooper said on The Big Bang Theory. They were trying to get him to go outside. They were like, it's beautiful. It's so nice outside. He goes, it is? Then why did man spend the last 50,000 years perfecting inside?
That's pretty much true. That's pretty much true.
You know,
and I think it boils down to...
One thing that's on
like
my
I
bucket
said, it
list
boils down
is
to
actually...
It boils down to technology and laziness and conveniences. You know, we want everything handed to us. We want everything right there within our reach anytime we need it.
Yep. And look at how many species have become dependent on us because of our carbon footprint. You know, it's really sad, like the domesticating of so many different animals and stuff like that, and it's just really sad. And you know, veterinarians make so much money off people because they think their pets need to be treated like humans. And
that's true.
It's completely ridiculous. My dad has a cat. My dad's cat's name is Mr. Putty, and Mr. Putty is a gangsta cat. Whenever the cat wants to go outside, my dad lets the cat go outside. The cat can be gone for a couple of days, comes back all banged up from getting into fights and stuff like that, and my dad feeds him, pets him, you know, gives him a place to sleep when he wants it and stuff, and then the cat goes back out. This cat has never, ever been to a vet. Ever in its life, never had any of these medications that vets are always trying to give the animals. You know, never had any vaccinations. You know, this damn
right.
thing eats mice and stuff like that, alongside of its canned food that my dad gives him, and this cat
right.
is surviving just fine. You know, but people are like, oh, you know, you got to get your dogs dewormed and. Well, yeah, worms are a big thing, but, you know, your dog, you know, oh, your dog's got allergies? Oh, well, give him this medication and stuff like that. It's ridiculous how much we're making animals like people. You know,
it's similar to Sasquatch research. You know, you got all these people that take these pictures of trees, and we have a tendency of seeking patterns, so naturally we're going to look at it and try to pick faces out of it because we have to humanize every damn thing, and it's the same concept with pets. You know, I have cats that are outside cats, and they're perfectly fine. You know, I'm sure they're not going to be pissed off at me and say, hey, how come you never took me to a vet? You know.
Yeah. It's really crazy, you know, and I hate it, and I laugh at anybody who says this. Oh, my cat is more, or my cat is more like a human. then it is like a pet and everything. And, you know, it's really sad. But I digress. One question I had for you.
And that's because they are putting their own persona and emotions onto that pet. You know, it's a whole psychological thing that I really don't want to get into right now. But yeah, that's what it boils down to, is they're impressioning themselves onto their pets.
Well, that one question I had that I wanted to ask on your show, I actually called in, but you would not. I stayed in the queue and you would not click me over. But don't go there now.
I click over for everybody.
and there's a lot of times
I'm like, hello, you're on the air, and there's no answer.
I was in the queue. I was in the queue for probably 20 minutes, and I even tried sending you a message and everything, saying, bring me on, but I never got on. But that picture of the monkey that they killed and photographed, is that a documented species now?
No, uh-uh. Not to my knowledge, anyway. I think there was just two, and they shot the male, and it ran off, and they shot the female, and they were able to keep the female, and I don't think it went any further than the picture, you know. And back to the column, you know, we all know that the site has been acting really screwy lately.
Well,
I mean, you were having
issues
at the top, at the first of your show.
Yeah. Well, but it's we got someone else on. Hey, you're on the Debunker Boys. Who's this? You're on the Debunker Boys. Who is this?
Hello?
I
didn't know I was on. I was just wanting to sit back and listen.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. What'd you say?
I said, I didn't know I was on. I was just going to sit back and listen.
Oh, okay. Well, what's your name?
Scotty Clark.
Oh, okay. Where are you calling from?
Oklahoma.
Okay. So do you listen to our show regularly?
No, I decided to listen to the show when I seen the advertisement on Facebook who was supposed to be on. I'm friends with somebody who's supposed to be on your show tonight.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yep.
So we're talking about Sasquatch, and what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'm a skeptic on that, so I'm not going to get into details on that. Yeah. I don't know about Sasquatch, but I believe in ghosts. But I don't know about Sasquatch.
So have you had any experiences with the paranormal?
Yes, I am into paranormal. I'm with the LaFleur County Paranormal Society.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know
Scotty.
Huh?
Oh, okay.
I know Scotty.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. Well, if you want, I can put you back in the queue so you can go ahead and listen in. I thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. But anyways, you know, back to my question about the documentation. People are always saying, you know, Bigfoot, where's the body? Where's the proof? I had this argument with somebody just recently. You know, I'm writing a research paper for my English report, and my teacher told me no Bigfoot, no ghosts, no UFOs because there's just not enough evidence to support it. And I looked at her and I said, challenge accepted. And
if you look in the right places, you know, the general public. You know, society has come to where if they don't see it on the damn news, then it doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah.
But you have this body
of this ape that was killed. It has photographic evidence. You cannot say it's a hoax. And that should be enough right there to classify it for research, because you got back before there was cameras, before there was DNA.
Well, it depends on what you believe also. You know, there's a lot of us that believe that the government is well aware of these things and does a good job for some reason of covering it up. I'm not going to speculate as to why, but I've talked to many Rangers who kind of agree with all that. So, you know, there could be tons of proof, tons of evidence, and we're just not, it's not being released. You know, it's all being swept under for some reason. You know, first of all, they would have to go and, like they did with the owl, where they take and they make it a whole wildlife refuge, and then they'll lose money on logging. There's a ton of different reasons that they could be covering it up.
Oh yeah, and it's really sad. Actually, I'm taking an ecology class this year, and we just got done talking about the carbon footprint and about the deforestation and stuff for logging. And it's really sad how we're literally destroying our Earth. We've literally changed the weight of our Earth. We have shifted the weight, and they can measure this by the time of day and everything, and how long our days are. And we actually shifted the weight of our Earth by damming our waterways and changing the waterways and everything. So now it's not evenly distributed. We actually caused our Earth to wobble a little bit more, and it's significant enough that it can be documented.
Well, you know, I've heard things to that nature. Time and again, I don't know if it's, you know, from us doing it or what. I haven't heard any of that. But, you know, I go out there every night, nearly every night, by myself in the middle of the woods. And, you know, whether I'm out there and whether I get some kind of response or audio or reaction on the Sasquatch level, it doesn't bother me, because I love being out there. I enjoy it. It's just relaxing. You know, like I said earlier, I kind of envy them, and I'm not one of these types that's like, oh, I want to prove to the world that Sasquatch are real. You know, I know they're real. The world can find out also just by doing the homework and going out there themselves. You know, mm-hmm. I go out there for my own experience because I want to understand them and how they're able to survive out there so well without all the necessities that we have.
One thing, creatures stay hidden on this earth. It's a known fact. I mean, when they were up in the Himalayas looking for evidence, and they found hair samples and brought it back, they found out it was hair samples not of a yeti, but of a polar bear that had gone extinct 50,000 years ago. That so they thought.
Well,
but here they
Josh
got this
Gates,
fresh.
Josh Gates, for example, found a track, casted it, brought it in. It was all over the news. Even the Himalayan government over there wanted copies of it, put it in the news. He was real famous over there. It's America, man. It's same with UFOs. You know, all these other countries, they're releasing all their UFO files. America is keeping it under lockdown.
Mm-hmm. That's really weird. That's really weird. I mean, these other countries are you know, like for Bigfoot and stuff, there's other countries that actually have them as a documented species, that they recognize them as a documented species and actually have wildlife refuges for them. And that's what my paper is going to be about. Why has the U.S. not recognized Sasquatch?
Yeah, and you know, people are like, why do you envy them so much? You know, it's like, come on, take a look around you. You know, the world is going to shit real quick. These things have existed since, as far as we know, the beginning of time. Obviously, they're doing something right. If it comes down to, and I'm not one of these doomsday preppers or any shit like that, but I would like to be a little bit mindful and a little bit aware of how to survive if I had to. You know, it's like right here, right now. If the world went to shit tonight, tomorrow, I know that I can go out into the middle of the woods and survive easily.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's on my bucket list is to do like they do on them Survivor shows, but do it for real. Go out.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because on September 11th, Les Stroud will be on my show.
Oh, cool.
And then later in the month, I'll have Michael Hawk, who is he had that show Man, Woman, Wild and Lost Survivors. Him and his wife. He's a good friend of mine. He'll be on.
Whatever happened to him, I chatted with him for a little bit, but I didn't.
Oh, that's what we're going to try to find. That's what we're going to try to find out. I can't go into real detail. I did an action figure for him for his wife for Christmas last year. I sculpted it, and it was of him. And you know, we talked pretty regularly since then. But as far as where he's headed, you know, we'll find all that out, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, you know. And, that's on my bucket list is to do a week. I'm probably going to pick somewhere like, I need a big wooded area, like, where I'm not going to run into anybody. I'm not going to run into any wood or roadways or anything like that. And I want to spend a week. You know, with nothing more than a tin can, a knife, and some rope. That's the only thing I'm going to take with me. And
that's pretty much my front yard.
Yeah. Maybe I'll come down and we can do it together. All right. And if it gets cold, I live right
on the edge of a wildlife refuge.
Well, I'll teach you how to use a spoon to keep warm in the Army.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I said, I'll teach you, like, when it gets cold, I'll teach you how we spooned in the Army.
That's all right, man. I'll just be cold.
No,
I appreciate the offer, but
it works.
I'll just
be
cold.
You know, we actually had, like, a four-man chain one time. You got your left arm that you put over the guy in front of you, and your right hand goes over your junk. So there's no crotch to, you know, dick to ass touching or nothing like that. And it worked. But no homo.
No, I understand. I did a little stint myself. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm just giving you some shit.
But anyways, boss, I got to cut this show short. Unfortunately, we can't do the full 2 hours. But I appreciate you having you on, and I'm hoping to get Dr. Meldrum on to chat with us one time, and
good luck with that one.
Oh, he doesn't do it?
I don't know. I can't say one way or the other, but you know, I would think that he's far too busy for it.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, up until this point, I have literally had you know, celebrity guests come on with ease, because celebrity guests are different from, like, regular guests. Like, when we were going with the psychic thing, trying to get a psychic on the Debunker Boy show to kind of call them out and everything, We could not get a psychic on to save our lives. They all ran for the hills. But when we get these celebrities, that right. You know, for the reason that faith healers do not work in hospitals are the same reason psychics do not win the lottery. You know, but we could not get a psychic on, but. Anytime.
Well, maybe they use their psychic abilities. Maybe they use their psychic abilities to figure out that you guys wanted to debunk them.
Oh yeah, yeah. They tell us the spirits tell them to be wary of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, So, but anytime we have a celebrity and we're like, hey, you know, we're the Debunker Boys. They're like, oh great, you know, we've been wanting to kind of be ourselves, you know, like when we had Rob Demarest, that guy just kind of spilled it all out. And then we're like, man, you know, totally different from what we expected. We expected him to come on and be like, oh, this is real. You know, no, this guy's like, you know what? I'm tired of all these people. He hates the ghost box, you know, the scanning radio that supposedly you talk to the dead through and everything. And he just laid it all out, and I love people like that, and you know I'm gonna do my damnedest to get Dr. Meldrum on. Hopefully. Yeah,
good luck. It's like I told you the other night, man. You know, all you can do is ask. You know.
Oh yeah. He already messaged me back about my research paper, and I had to message his email. His professional.
Yeah,
email.
Who put you on that route? Who put you on that route?
You did, brother.
Yeah,
you did.
Me.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. You know, I'm gonna do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me well enough to know I'm gonna do anything I can to help anybody.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and I appreciate it. That's good old Southern hospitality, right?
I don't know about fully Southern. I think it's good old human hospitality. Yeah, you know, if the rest of the world was like that, we'd be in a better place.
You know what? Honestly, I miss living in Missouri, because in Missouri, you know, you can get down there. If you need something, you can find someone to do it, you know, and they, no questions asked, they will help you out, because they were good people. I get up here and I need someone to you know, I need someone to help me because, like, I've been having trouble with my gas tank cover that won't pop open when I pull the lever because the spring has kind of gone bad in it. So I actually have to have someone push on the backside of the cover so it gives it enough pressure to pop open. And, you know, just trying getting someone to do that for me, just push on that area, you know, you'd be surprised. People are like, oh, no, I don't have time for that. You know, but down in Missouri, I had a guy change my tires for me for free just because he had the machine to do it. And he was like, yeah, no problem. Just give me the old tires. I was like, damn.
You know, that's the sad, harsh reality of the world. You know, it's all about money now. And it's the same thing in regards to Sasquatch. You know, it's all about money. When money is involved, that's when things get all screwy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why you got people... These people who do these hoaxes and fakes, because they're not out to try to, you know, they feel they have to live up to something. You know, kind of like the old carnival freak shows, where
yeah.
they want so badly to get that recognition and that name, and that they feel like they have to provide something. So what do? They go out there and fake it. The same with the carnival freak shows back in the day. You know, they're going to go out there and fake it just to get that attention, just to get those accolades that come along with, oh, he has something, you know. And it's sad. You know, it's like I said earlier, you know, society in general, if they don't see it on the news, they're not going to buy it. And sadly, these hoaxers, you know, they're put on the news, and then they're put on the news as hoaxers. So these societies seeing this and thinking, oh, the whole thing is a big fake. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a crazy world nowadays. But like I said, I appreciate you, Brian. for coming on and talking with
me. Oh, anytime.
And this was awesome. You definitely opened my eyes that, you know, you answered a lot of questions that I had personally about the great North American Sasquatch. And, you know, I hope to have you on here in the near future. And you have a wonderful night, all right, man?
Yeah, if anybody wants to check us out, it's on Facebook, Onyx Knights Paranormal Cryptids. We have a cryptid, an alien, and a ghost division. So anything that you know, whatever floats your boat, is
tickles
we
your
have
fancy.
Yeah.
I'm glad you plugged that. I totally forgot to tell you to plug your stuff. But listening, guys, on Thursday nights from 8 to 10, Brian's on with the Onyx Knights. Usually you guys are talking about Sasquatch, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I want to dip off more into ghosts and extraterrestrial type stuff. It's just finding reliable, trustworthy sources when it comes to those is a little bit difficult right now. Yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
more difficult than Sasquatch. And plus, you know, for Sasquatch, I can easily walk out my door and go, you know, doing Sasquatch research, hunting for Bigfoot, if you will. And when it comes to ghosts, you know, you got to go through all the chain of events of getting permission and the disclaimers, you're being in someone else's house, and, you know.
Real quick, you know what's the funny thing about ghosts? Why the Debunker Boys, you know, every week we have something new to talk about is because ghosts are easier to disprove than they are to prove. And not saying that they don't exist, because I believe I've had my own personal experiences, but they are so
totally they
are
believe
much
they exist.
Easier.
I
They're
totally believe they exist.
I've never seen
anything definitive in front of me that says, "Oh, there's a ghost." Never in my life. I've seen Sasquatch. You know, to me, it seems like there's more evidence for the existence of an unproven hominid than there is for a ghost.
Exactly.
And that's just me personally.
Exactly. So keep doing what you're doing, brother, and have a wonderful night, man.
Thanks, Ron. You take care, buddy.
All right. Everyone, thanks for listening. This is the Debunker Boys signing out. Have a good night. Listen to us next week. You never know who we're going to have on or what we're going to do. Peace out. Come on, Coda. Let's go bye-bye.